You're listening to episode 19 of IDRA Class Notes.
What's exciting to me as a teacher trainer is at the end of the day, or when I come back and do mentoring within the classroom, I see these aha moments, and I can actually see this light bulb go on in the teacher's eye. They have this flash of light. Now I get it. Teachers are like students too. This is new material for a lot of teachers, and they need to practice it over and over, and at some point it comes together and the light bulb goes on.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Dr. Bradley Scott, and I really want to welcome you once again to our podcast series. Remember that IDRA is a small organization with a very, very big mission, and that mission is to transform schools so that they work for every child. The Class Notes podcast is designed for teachers and school administrators who make schools work for all children. And so we're hoping that as you listen in, you listen with that thought in mind. Remember that during the course of this podcast, if you hear something that strikes your attention in particular, or that brings up a question you have, we would love to hear from you and to hear your thoughts. There will be details at the end of this podcast on how you can contact us, so be sure to listen for that information. We also have set up an email alert to let you know when a new podcast episode of the Class Notes is available. If you are not subscribing to this podcast, this can help you to stay up to date. Just go to our website and sign up. But let's get right down to the business at hand today. I am very excited to have one of my colleagues here talking about the topic for today, which is engaging English language learners. And this colleague is Kristen Grayson. Now, Kristen has a master's degree in bilingual, ESL, and multicultural education from the University of Central Oklahoma. And pretty much her entire career has focused on educating English language learners, including as a teacher and a district-level coordinator in Kansas, Oklahoma, and now Texas. But what we are excited about is that she is also a member of the staff of the Intercultural Development Research Association as one of the education associates. And she has developed the engagement-based sheltered instruction professional development model. So I asked Kristen if she would take some time and come in today and talk to us about this model. I know that it is important for many, many reasons. And I think that as you hear her talk about it, why it was created, what's unique about the model, the research behind the model, and the special things that teachers should be doing to really engage English language learners so that they can be as successful as their English dominant counterparts, I think that you'll understand why she felt a need to create the model. So let me just say to you, Kristen, hello and welcome to today's podcast.
Good morning, Bradley. I'm really happy to be here and to share this information with you.
Well, Kristen, listen, let's just get right into the thick of things. There are probably a couple of questions I should ask, but let me ask you, first of all, when you talk about engagement, what do you mean by engagement?
Engagement is the cognitive activity that's going on in a student's brain that brings them into the learning process. Engagement does not ensure learning, but learning cannot happen without cognitive engagement.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. So, Kristen, tell me, so why was there a need to create another engagement model? It seems like there are these student engagement models, or at least that term is being thrown around everywhere. Why did you feel that there was this need for creating a student engagement model?
Well, you're right. Engagement is kind of a buzzword in education today. But my colleagues and I, here in Texas and before in other states, have noticed that teachers, when they're working with English language learners and have been trained in strategies or models of sheltered instruction, still have a deep need to understand at a deeper level what it is that is going to help English language learners really learn and acquire the academic language of the subject area. So because of that, because many teachers are now required to take training, and they're taking training, but they still need to take it to another level, we have focused this model particularly on building academic language. Many teachers, especially content teachers, understand that they have to make their content comprehensible for the English language learner. But still, when you talk about systematically and purposefully building the language of their subject, this is kind of a new thing for content teachers. When they went through their original teaching training, mm-hmm. a lot of teachers never had the strategies, never had courses on working with English language learners, and what's unique about building the language of their subject for students whose first language is something else.
So then that means that that's one of the unique aspects of this model, that it is building academic language?
Yes. This model concentrates on how teachers, particularly teachers working in content areas, regular mainstream classrooms, grade level classrooms, and then ESL teachers who are supporting those content teachers, mm-hmm. how they can merge content and language or academic language teaching to help with the success for the English language learner.
That's really interesting. Are models like Sheltered and Instruction Observation Protocol, the SIOP model, does it do those kinds of things or does it not?
Yes, it does do those kind of things. But sometimes what we found is teachers are hearing the academic language part of that model for the first time. And as you know, when you learn something, you have to learn it several times before you really comprehend it at a deep level and before you really acquire the knowledge so that it's your own. So this is a way to extend training that teachers have had in the SIOP model, in SADAI in California, or other models of sheltered instruction. So it's extending that to understand academic language at a deeper level.
That's exciting, Kristen. Well, I think there are probably a couple of things we need to do, one of which is give me some sense of the research that's behind this model that you've been developing, and then I'd be very interested in a summary kind of way, if you would talk about some of the different components of the model or the professional development training that teachers go through in order to be able to execute the model in their classrooms. What is some of the research behind this?
Well, the cornerstone of the research is built around Dr. Jim Cummins' model for English language learners and academic success, particularly focusing on, in his model, the center is teacher-student interactions and building maximum engagement related with cognitive investment, focusing on language and language use and language meaning. So that really is the cornerstone. And then we've tried to take it to a level where it can be presented to teachers in a way that they can operationalize it in their classroom. I do want to add here that there are several really unique things about this model. Mm-hmm. One thing is that we really want to capitalize on the English language learner's strengths and assets that they bring even to the English-speaking classroom. They do bring many things with them. They bring a lot of personal experiences. They bring a language from wherever they grew up or whatever their home environment was. And the teacher, in understanding that as an asset, can learn how to build from that and connect with the student, so that will help them engage in the learning. The other thing that's very unique about this model is we have two observation tools, and one of them is quite different in that for observation, we want to start not observing what the teacher's doing, because the teacher needs to start by observing where the students are at. Mm-hmm. So we've developed a student indicator list based on the research of what student engagement looks like, in particular for the English language learner. So the observation tool is looking at students and seeing how they're engaged, what they're engaged in, and how to pull that together so then the teacher can modify and adjust the teaching strategies to more or less hook the student into the learning. And being that the English language learner is understand the language of the classroom in the same way as other students, some of those indicators might be unique. So we want to focus on that. So the two observation tools are observing students for engagement and then observing what the teacher is doing to structure that engagement.
I'm just curious, are those instruments sensitive by across culture, across gender, across class as well?
Yes. As a matter of fact, these instruments, although they're developed to use with English language learners, because of the strong research base, can be used across the board with students of any background.
How interesting. How interesting. Well, let's go on. Tell me a little bit more about the model itself so that our listeners get a real sense of some of the components of it, of the professional development model. How do you take teachers through it in a way that really equips them to be able to apply it or use it in their classrooms? And probably what supports do they need to make sure that they have what they need in order to do it appropriately to serve students?
Well, in the big picture, we relate the model with other things that are already going on in schools and the classroom. In particular, I'm talking about what we call the four R's: relationship, relevance, rigor, and resources. Resources being technology, administrative support, and those type of things.
I'm glad to hear administrative support. That's hugely important.
That's hugely important.
Hugely important.
In terms of the instructional process, if you think of the question that students need to be engaged, that's a given, to learn, then what type of activities are going to promote engagement by English language learners? And we've kind of focused on four areas, combining the research not only on engagement but on the needs of English language learners. And so those four areas of engagement for English language learners in terms of engaged in opportunities for the ELL, English language learner, to connect personally to the content. Engaged in opportunities to understand the content. And here's where the notion of comprehensible input would come in. But extending that to then engaged in opportunities to systematically build academic language, and engaged in opportunities to systematically practice academic language.
So first of all, then the student has to be engaged in terms of the relevancy of whatever it is he or she has to learn.
Exactly.
As a starting point.
Right.
And then the second point is?
Being engaged in comprehending the content.
Understanding what it is that they are
needing
to learn.
That's being presented. And these are with those techniques that many teachers have learned through other types of training, using gestures, using a lot of visuals, whether videos or drawings, graphic organizers, hands-on activities, those type of things that make the content itself more comprehensible.
And then the third piece of that is understanding the language that is connected to the content. And the fourth is learning to use it.
Practicing it in many different ways in many different contexts.
Excellent.
So that when you look at the research, for instance, Cummins and Krashen and all the other names, that the practice is happening over and over across context and content so that the student is not only learning the word, but the word is becoming their own word and they can use it. Many times we hope that by having meaningful experiences, let's say hands-on experiences, we hope or we think, well, the student will acquire the language because it's just all there and they're remembering.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the key things for academic language is that it really has to be done systematically. A real systematic focus on what language is it the student needs to acquire and what support can the teacher give. So those are the things the student knows that they're learning and building on. And that's where building academic language comes in. So it's not just haphazardly that all these things are going on and somehow at the end of the day the student's going to come out with all this language the teacher's hoping for.
A certain kind of intentionality.
There's a very intentionality, and I think that's what teachers have needed help with. And so it's not only focusing on what do they need, but then structuring the activities so that it's very purposeful and obvious to the student what the language is, what it means, and now it's very purposeful how they're practicing it over and over again in listening, speaking, reading, and writing. Mm-hmm. So they've had enough exposures and repetitions to it that now they're going to remember it.
That makes a lot of sense, Kristen. Have you had a chance to actually, I guess the word might be, field test any of this model to begin to see how it's working, to see its efficacy, to see where you might need to be making modifications? Have you had a chance to do
that? Yes, there are several districts we've tried the entire framework with, and the teachers have been very excited at the end when they see how all the pictures, how all the pieces fit together. Other districts, and this is across several states, we've tried different pieces of it, and what's exciting to me as a teacher trainer is at the end of the day, at the end of the workshop, or when I come back and do mentoring within the classroom, I see these aha moments, and I can actually see this light bulb go on in the teacher's eyes. They have this flash of light. Now I get it. Teachers are like students, too. This is new material for a lot of teachers, and they need to practice it over and over, and at some point it comes together and the light bulb goes on.
So that is great, and so that means that this model has already been in the hands of real practitioners.
Yes.
And which is excellent. I just heard you say real quickly that you go into the classrooms and you actually work with the students using different aspects of this model, or do you observe teachers in action and give them feedback, or what?
Well, the way I like to, and IDRA likes to do the classroom support, we want to start with the teacher with where they're at, what they feel comfortable at, and where they want to move themselves to. So the teacher sets a goal. Maybe they're going to try to systematically build in one of these language activities within their content. And so they set the goal, and we talk about how do they want the support. It might be in a co-teaching model. It might be where I'm working with a group of students so that the teacher can work with another group of students. One teacher asked me to just observe a couple students that they weren't able to connect with, see if I would have a different perspective and could help them figure out what's going to work with that student.
I see. So you engage with them based upon their needs and their desires for professional growth.
Right. And that goes back. Teachers are learners, too. It goes back to building that relationship and building the relevance, working with them with what they can relate to and where they want to go.
That's excellent. In these closing moments, Kristen, are there one or two things you want to make sure that we are left with as a result of having been introduced to the engagement-based sheltered instructional professional development model that you haven't mentioned so far? Just one or two things that you want to make sure that we know and that we're left with.
Well, I think we've covered all the main points about the model itself, so I want to just add a closing thought about English language learners, because as you know, this is my life's passion.
Sure.
And I just want to say that the key to really engaging English language learners has to do with teachers working with those students in a new way, so that they see the strengths, they see the wonderful things that the English language learners can bring to their classroom and bring to the learning process of all the kids that are in the classroom. And I just want to close on that because they have so many special and unique qualities, and that's what we need to focus on.
It's great to hear you say that. That's a very powerful, very valuing notion for this population of students that many times are either left behind or are not dealt with appropriately in terms of instructional supports and need, responding to their instructional needs, as well as their needs as learners.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you saying that. Kristen Grayson, it has been great for me to listen to you talk about this model. I see you work and know how excited you are about it. And so I'm glad that you've had a few moments to share some of your thoughts around the model and to share its components, some of the research that is important, what makes this model unique as a professional development model for teachers, particularly of English language learners, even though some of its key principles can apply to all learners. And I thank you for mentioning that. I thank our listeners today for being with us, and I hope that you will certainly feel free to contact us. Don't forget that there is information at the end of this podcast that will help you to locate us, and you can certainly feel free to subscribe to our podcast series. We would want you to do that. And please come back and join us. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. We look forward to hearing your comments, getting your feedback, and any questions that you may have or raising those questions. We'll be glad to be in touch with you. Be sure to take care of yourselves until the next time we have a chance to come together. This is Bradley Scott from the Intercultural Development Research Association signing off and telling you to take care of yourself.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.